This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Is the economy headed for a recession in 2023?
The risk of recession is high, may not be a deep and prolonged one, but we're in a situation where the economy has recovered very rapidly from COVID, and it's come with a lot of inflation. And the Federal Reserve is trying to slow down the economy to bring inflation down. And in the past, more often than not, that's coincided with some sort of recession.
Bank of America chief economist Michael Gapin on CBS's Face the Nation. Not looking forward to recession, but certainly looking forward to the new year, says this New Year's Eve reveler in New York's Times Square.
I think 2023 is going to be a world even more connected. I think we're going to find ways to communicate across boundaries and to find commonalities in each other.
Republicans are set to take control of the House on Tuesday. Joining them will be Congressman-elect George Santos of New York. He's being investigated for lying about his background. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson tells ABC Santos needs to be punished.
There has to be accountability for that. That is unacceptable. I don't know whether you can go so far as to not seat him, but certainly the Ethics Committee should deal with this.
Among other things, Santos is being investigated for improper use of campaign funds. The January 6th committee has referred former President Trump to the Justice Department for criminal charges. Illinois Republican Representative Adam Kinzinger served on that committee.
As we've gotten into this, I look and I'm like, yeah, if this is not a crime, I don't know what is. If a president can incite an insurrection and not be held accountable, then really there's no limit to what a president can do or can't do.
Kinzinger made his comments today on CNN. Police in Brazil have detained a man with explosive device and a knife as he was trying to enter the Brasilia Esplanade for the inauguration of Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. The BBC's Katie Watson says it happened as supporters were already celebrating.
People have come from all over Brazil. Certainly not just an official ceremony. Yes, presidents have come from around the world, but this is definitely an excuse to have a good New Year's party.
The managing director of the International Monetary Fund says Ukraine needs $3 to $5 billion a month in financial support to fight the war against Russia.
I have relatives in Ukraine. What I know from them is it is cold, it is dark, and it is scary. Bombardments of civilian areas continue. What I also want to say is that Ukraine has proven to be remarkably resilient.
She was interviewed on CBS. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3960.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation-related, and Brewing says it's badly needed, as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rose says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Another summer day has come and gone away from Paris and Rome, but I wanna go home.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. So I think sometimes when we think about affordable housing, which is a problem everywhere, it's everywhere across the state right now. Certainly, I think sometimes, though, the association goes with urban areas, but that is not true. I've talked to people in Appleton and Green Bay, and certainly here in Waukesha, having enough affordable housing for people to live in is an issue that affects communities all over Wisconsin. And so here to talk about some of the projects that are happening and the mission of Habitat for Humanity is the Director of Development and Marketing for Habitat of Humanity of Waukesha County, Brett Poloquin.
I got it. You nailed it.
So welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's always a great opportunity to be able to share our mission, especially over, you know, the airwaves where, you know, people from all over the place are listening.
So. Absolutely. So I know I've always known that Habitat for Humanity also works within the U.S., mm-hmm. but I feel like first the assumption for a lot of people when their first association with Habitat for Humanity is building houses in, like when Haiti got hit by the terrible hurricane earthquake back in 2005. How long ago was that? Was a while ago. But has it always, did it start abroad and then come to the U.S., or has it always been an international program or organization that has local chapters everywhere?
So it started here in the U.S., okay. Started in Georgia. There was a small kind of commune farm where they built affordable housing there. And, you know, people kind of just collaborated to build homegrown houses, you know, right on that property. And then it, you know, kind of spread throughout the United States. And then, yes, it did expand internationally. And I would agree with you. People do kind of associate that with us a lot of the time. But, you know, we're just as prolific within the United States, especially, as you said, in urban communities, but also in what I would call, you know, Waukesha County is sort of an urban-rural mixture.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
We don't necessarily have, cities everywhere, but in some farmsteads and things like that. But affordable housing is an equal issue across both.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And so what would you say, besides maybe that assumption, but what else would surprise people about Habitat for Humanity?
Yeah, a couple things. For one, you know, I think people assume that we're all kind of working together. And we are working together to an extent, but we do kind of cover a service area. So, you know, Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha County covers exactly that, Waukesha County. You know, all the fundraising we do goes directly back into Waukesha County. We're not really, you know, paying the big habitat in the sky, short of just some administrative fees and stuff like that. But, you know, it allows us to, you know, understand the community that we work in and really dramatically apply unique solutions to that community, as opposed to kind of just some kind of general, you know, habitat branded, we're going to build a house and be done.
And so, because what I think is really interesting is back end of August, you guys broke ground on a new subdivision. Yep. That is going to be, how many units ultimately will there be in there?
There'll be 20 units there.
And so, you know, I think living in Milwaukee, I feel like you throw a stone in any of the given neighborhoods and there's some new luxury apartment building that some developer is developing. And, you know, they look very nice. The new timber building, the Ascent building's very beautiful. But what does it look like with negotiating with the city and working with the city to compete with those kinds of developers? You're like, this is needed. We have a population that can't afford those. So we need to be able to build this kind of community subdivision housing. And is there a competition with more capitalist developers, or is there land that is specifically held for programs like Habitat to be able to build housing that is necessary, or what does that process look like?
Sure. You know, so here in Waukesha County, we work very, very collaboratively with the city and the county. In fact, I would refer to them as probably our biggest advocates. You know, they're constantly hunting out opportunities for us to, you know, kind of put down, you know, more and more affordable housing units. There is definitely competition with you know, some of our for-profit builders. But at the same time, you know, for-profit building can, you know, find areas like where Dominica Park is at tremendously difficult to make profitable. So, you know, the interest there is, you know, sometimes we have to kind of find those, I don't want to, you know, say they're bad plots of land, but like the ones that aren't necessarily going to work out for a for-profit builder. And so, you know, we're very fortunate to have that opportunity come with Dominica Park. And I think there's more opportunities here in Waukesha County for those types of things. But it has to be a collaborative effort.
So. Absolutely. And so speaking more about this big project, because I'm assuming this is the big project for you guys right now.
It sure is.
And so when is it expected to be done?
So we'll be working on it for the next three to four years. I think we kind of anticipate finishing it in 2026, you know, possibly early 2026. Yeah.
And then how, for the people who end up living in a house built by Habitat, what is like the criteria? What would surprise us about the people who end up living in the houses that get built or homes that get built?
Sure. You know, so something that I would say characterizes a lot of our homeowners is, you know, they sit inside of this sort of middle ground of 30 to 80% of the area in median income. You know, so that's oftentimes referred to in surveys as ALICE, which is asset limited, income constrained, but employed. You know, so these are people who they're fulfilling all of the societal obligations that we kind of associate that our parents did and you know, allowed them to purchase a house or you know, have a car loan or those types of things. But these people are inside of that 30 to 80% area median income, and they, you know, simply can't qualify for an affordable home loan, or, you know, simply there's no affordable housing there. You know, the average single family home here in Waukesha County runs for about $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
But even based on the area median income, $250,000 is what's considered affordable. That being, you know, 30% or less of their yearly income. So, you know, people aren't even coming close to $400,000.
Yeah.
In that realm. So, you know, these people are extremely hardworking. Like I said, they're kind of, you know, they're regular everyday members of the community. These are not like, you know, homeless or destitute people. They are the person that sits next to you at the office in some cases. And we're simply, you know, providing a hand up to them so that they have that opportunity for home ownership that, you know, I think is escaping us in terms of, you know, looking at the American dream. So,
and Brett, they have to put sweat equity into this project too, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They put about 200 hours of sweat equity into building their house.
Wow.
Themselves, you know, and that goes a long way in terms of that pride of knowing that I, you know, helped, because how many of us can say that we, you know, helped build our home?
Nope.
I mean, I know I certainly feel that way now with some of the maintenance I do on it, but, but at the end of the day, to know that, you know, you quite literally put the studs in the walls and the drywall up. Yeah, that goes a long way with pride, as well as a deeper understanding of, you know, what goes into building a house and what goes into, you know, the hard work that volunteers are putting forward for you. So,
absolutely. And so, shifting gears a little bit, how does Restore work? Because that's a separate than actually building the houses, right?
Sure. You're talking about the Restore look?
Restore, yes, sorry. Yes. No, Restore, okay. Restore.
Yeah, so we have this excellent store location where we kind of take in donated merchandise. And, you know, I would refer to us as kind of like a, you know, a thrifty Home Depot.
Okay.
There's some free branding for Home Depot.
Sponsor us.
Yeah, so, you know, people kind of bring their, you know, home improvement supplies that they might have left over in their garage for things. Or we get a lot of appliances and furniture, and they're, you know, they're marked down at a steep, steep discount, and then there's sales on top of that. And so, you know, on top of providing affordable housing, I would like to say that we're, you know, providing affordable, you know, home improvement solutions as well.
So if you're someone who wants to donate,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes we hear about Goodwill, like what they will or will not take. So what's kind of the threshold as far as being used? Obviously, it still has to work, but what kind of stuff do you guys take?
Yeah, so, you know, gently used is kind of our criteria. We don't want any rips, tears, or stains and things. You know, nothing that's going to affect its performance, like you said. And then oftentimes with, like, building materials, if it's only a small quantity, it's usually probably not worth, you know, throwing on a shelf in there. I don't know what I would do with, like, 3 or 4 tiles, you know, so...
an art project?
Yeah, an art project, which we do get some customers like that. So, but I'm not encouraging people to bring us their loose tile.
But what, I mean, what about Brett? I mean, I have tools from my father that are still really good working tools. Do you take stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, in fact, I would say kind of our tool and hardware section is sort of a hidden gem in a lot of ways where, you know, we get a lot of general contractors who come in or, you know, kind of even the hobbyists and crafty people who come in and they'll find, you know, incredible stuff that's from like 1920. In fact, you know, this is not tools or hardware, but we did receive like a phonograph the one day and I was just like blown away. We literally cranked it to play and it played like the Army theme song or something like
that. Oh, that's so cool.
The real Army theme song, not the one from the commercial. So
so then last question, and we only have about a minute left, but if people want to volunteer, do they just need a hammer? But like, what do you look for when you need volunteers to come help out?
Yeah. You know, we look for a lot of different, we look for people kind of all different shapes and sizes and skill sets. You know, the Restore needs volunteers as well. Our construction volunteers, people come from their kind of one time, unskilled volunteers who we can teach to do something pretty, you know, quickly within 30 or 40 minutes, to, you know, we have some retired folks who, you know, spent 20 years with We Energies and they're able to wire a whole house.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, somewhere between there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go to our website and, you know, ask to, you know, sign up and. We'll get you
get more information. HabitatWaukesha.org.
Yep.
All right. Brett Poloquin. Sorry. See, we talked about this at the break. Brett Poloquin, Director of Development and Marketing for Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha County. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. We're going to take another break. Stay with us.
I'll be home tonight. I'm coming back home.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Let the music roll.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
The Devil's Advocates.
The conservative dating app, The Right Stuff, is failing 3 months after launch. In October, the app, The Right Stuff, had just 11,000 downloads.
The profile creation process also asked users to list their thoughts about the January 6th Capitol riots. Two reviewers claimed that FBI and police officers visited their homes after filling out their profiles.
The political party that is the Devil's Advocates radio show, live weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs level off around 41 this afternoon under mainly cloudy skies. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, 29. High of 39 tomorrow, overcast skies. Mid-50s Tuesday, with a chance for scattered showers. Turning much cooler Wednesday, with highs in the mid-30s and mixed precip possible. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do.
Well, welcome back to Ask Us Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Metnair and Greg Bach, because it's Wednesday.
Wednesday!
Thank you for joining us on your lunch hour. So what... Feel free to answer this question, 844-967-2789. What Christmas song would you love to never have to hear again? And how much would you be willing to pay to not hear it? Greg, you go first.
I love them all.
Really? There's not one that you're just ugh.
No, honestly, because like I could listen to Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You every day. And I did for the past couple weeks. And I still love the song. So
it's catchy.
It's so catchy and beautiful. I love the cover versions of it. I love Christmas music a lot, especially non-traditional Christmas music. Like I was rocking George Strait's Christmas country records.
We've played the winner from last week.
Yeah.
A lot. What was it called?
It is Old Santa Done Got a Taste of Lambo from Casey Williams.
Jane really
I really love that song.
Yeah. Good song. Good.
I think JR really appreciated it yesterday. Jane, do you have one that you would just love to never have to hear again?
The one that I used for the bumper music.
Oh, you hate that one?
I hate that song.
I've never heard that until today.
Oh, it's been around for decades, Greg. And there's just a quality to her. I think it's Dana Peavy is the artist that irritates me to no end. She's got that. There's that nasally kind of thing going on that makes me crazy.
So if someone else sang it, do you think you could... You'd like it more?
No, it's still a stupid song about a
hippopotamus for Christmas. That's my talent. And nothing else will do.
If we could do a blues version of it, Greg.
I'll make that happen.
I could get on board.
All
right. Challenge?
Challenge accepted.
All right. Well, I bring this up because there's a couple in, I think it's out east. I don't know exactly where they live, but they... Tomas Mazzetti and his wife, Hannah, have raised more than $62,000 to buy the rights to Wham's Last Christmas so that they can take it off the air for good. They've raised $62,000 because they never want to hear this song again. Instead of like refurnishing their home or buying a car. So many other things you could do. But the fact that they raised it makes me think that there's other people who are on board with this that are donating to the cause. But I don't... Is Last Christmas that bad?
No.
Greg's upset.
That's... Okay. First
of
all...
Go. Think about it.
George Michael, Treasure. Wham! Amazing group. Great pop music. That song is so good. I love that song. In fact, it's my top five favorite Christmas songs. The fact that these two humans want to do something so... First of all, okay, that like this is what you said. You have that kind of time on your hands. You're like, I want to raise some money so I can like make people unhappy. Because people love that song. You don't like it? Turn the radio off. That's so awful.
Press skip.
Yes.
Alexa, next.
Exactly.
There's
so many options. Would you do this... I don't like these people.
And I have to say, having worked in music radio for many, many decades, 62,000 isn't going to get you anywhere.
Yeah. So I was going to say, how much? I feel like that's a pretty popular song, and that's also how these guys, I would assume Wham is still paying their bills, is just off of that song. Maybe not. You probably know more than I do. But
George Michael's dead. So.
Well, who's making the money off this song then when they play
If they wrote the song, they're getting some of the publishing rights. So the record label's making money off of it, the producer's making money off of it, and the people who wrote the song are making money off of it. So essentially what you're saying is, I want to take money out of the hands of people who are doing their job, because I don't like this song. It makes my heart hurt. Ugh. I bet you they call people snowflakes on Twitter.
Well, I think that they're not. This could be a key to it, too, because the way this started was her hatred, her being Hannah the wife, started in 1884.
Wait, what?
1984. Whoa,
she's old.
So, and she was working in a cafe in Oxford, England, and she was studying English, which makes me think English is not her first language.
Okay.
So maybe she just doesn't get it.
Well,
maybe she doesn't get, like, it's because it's like uniquely American. But I think you're right. I'm anti this happening because, again, what else could you do with $62,000? Also, is that even enough money to get this off the air? And also, is it that bad? I'm trying to think that there's any song that I'd be like, yep, I'd never, ever want to hear this again. That this is worth my time and effort.
There are definitely songs that when I hear them, I turn them off. In fact, Jane played one of them today. There are songs that I turn them off.
Which song was it?
Fly Away by Lenny Kravitz. Don't never need to hear that song again. It was played. Hey, don't look at me like that, Jane. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying I remember when that song was played like 5 times a day. I've heard it enough. I'm good. I'm talking to Jane right now. Am I trying to buy the rights to it? No, I'm not. I just turn it off. I'm fine with it. Enter Sandman and Metallica, one of my favorite bands on earth. I can't listen to that song anymore.
I love Lenny Kravitz.
That's great. I love that you love Lenny Kravitz, too.
And he would love me if he ever met me.
I'm sure he would.
Who doesn't love you, Jane?
Yeah. Oh, I can name a few former coworkers, but we don't have time for that.
We don't have time for that. Speaking of bird songs, I do think I could go forever without ever hearing the Nelly Furtado. I'm like a bird.
I want to fly away.
Yeah. I mean, you hear it, you turn it off, you skip it. You take it off your playlist. There are many ways of not hearing songs you don't like. None of them require you to raise a paltry amount of money in the eyes of like the music industry. By the way, George Michael wrote that song himself. So yeah, the estate of George Michael still making money. Take that, the Mazzettis. And most likely, I bet you $50. If I look hard enough, I bet you any amount of money he when he was alive, he donated that money to some cause.
Well, we're going to go to break, so maybe you can Google it, and when we come back, you can tell us the answer.
I'm going to listen to Last Christmas while I'm doing it.
Maybe Jane has it queued up for the break.
Oh my gosh,
Jane?
No, she doesn't.
All right, missed opportunity. All right, well, we are going to take another break, but when we come back, we're going to see in this age range of generational gaps between the four of us, Brooklyn's going to join us. Which of these viral moments we remember or don't remember? Play along with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes to see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Is the economy headed for a recession in 2023?
The outlook by most people who sit in the position that I do think 2023 could be a difficult year for the U.S.
Bank of America Chief Economist Michael Gapin interviewed on CBS's Face the Nation. Republicans take control of the House on Tuesday, and Congressman-elect George Santos will be joining them. He's being investigated, though, for lying about his background. On ABC, Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson stopped short of saying Santos should be expelled, but
we have to have more integrity in our political environment, in our elected leaders, and this destroys that confidence.
Among other things, Santos is also being investigated for misuse of campaign funds. Russia has unleashed another rash of missile strikes against Ukraine. Ukraine.
Ukrainian officials say many of the drones were shot down over Kyiv and its surrounding region, where energy infrastructure was hit.
The BBC's Daniel Eberhard. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. If you miss any part of today's show, and why would you ever miss any part of, why do you not dedicate 3 hours of your day every day listening to this show?
What, do you have a life? Come on.
But
I feel attacked right now.
I know. Don't forget, my mom did. I asked my mom while I was home. I was like, how much of my show every day do you think you listen to? And she said she's good for certainly an hour.
Yeah.
Two at most. She's like, I rarely can listen to the whole thing. I have things to do.
Well, shout out to Mrs. Bry for listening to the most important day of the week. It's Wednesday.
That's true.
When I'm here.
Greg Bach, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Again, if you miss any part of today's show, though, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast. You can also subscribe so you always get it to your Apple or your Spotify. And when there's
your
new
Google.
Your Googles. And so when there's a new episode, which is daily, and then we do a best of on the weekends, and we post the individual interviews, we have a lot of content. You can do that on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. As always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. All right. Well, we're going to get to some headlines that caught our eye. And this first one, I think is... It's not... I would say it's interesting, but it's not necessarily substantial because it's all... just words for now.
As most things are?
No, No, sometimes there's action that is backed up by the words, but sometimes it's like, this is what we're planning to do, and you know, we'll see if it actually happens. But you brought this to my attention, and we've talked about this before. The state Republican Party has elected a new chairman, Brian Schimming, who is a very long-standing political activist for the Republican Party. He was in, I think, Tommy Thompson's campaign or was in his administration at one point or another. But I don't think this was the day you were here, but the Cap Times opinion board wrote a very hopeful op-ed saying, because of kind of his long-standing and being that kind of Tommy Thompson era Republican, maybe he can hone in or rein in the extremism and some of the more, I don't know if it's like culture war stuff that's not necessarily good. It's good for the base, but it's not good for Wisconsin. And you can see that reflected in statewide races. Republicans have not necessarily been winning. And you found this article from Bill Glauber, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, saying that he's basically, so far, he being Brian Schimming, is saying that's kind of what he's thinking. That's his train of thought.
The quote that's in the first paragraph of the story, he says, "I'm not coming over here to milk sacred cows," which I think is a very telling thing. Because I think right now, as far as Republicans go, there, I mean, that very much is true. There is these topics that you either are for or against. That's it. There's no gray area. There's no anything. It's you are either for or against. And if you are against it and is with us, you are with us. If you, you know, if you even say like, well, I believe I have some pro-choice leanings, get out of our party. You know, like it's, I think it sounds like what he wants to do. And I'm hoping, like, as you said, they're words right now. They're not actions at this point, is take that Republican Party and bring it back to somewhere towards the center, somewhere towards, you know, workability, compromise. Now, he can do that all he wants. I mean, he only has so much power with the party itself. He can't tell lawmakers in Madison what to do. I mean, he can suggest, he can say, hey, this is what we're trying to do. And they're like, yeah, that's great, cool. I'm going to go ahead and keep saying that January 6th was a patriotic act and the election was stolen. But it seems like this guy wants to bring it back to a more level-headed area,
which would be great.
Which would be absolutely great. I mean, I would love to see that. But something you hear every single time people talk about politics is there's no compromise, there's no talking, so much fighting, and that's not untrue. But what are we going to do about it? And if this is what he wants to do, if this is what Brian wants to do, I mean, I think that's great. Seems like he's got a lot of influence amongst the party, both locally, statewide, and nationally, which is great. He's got respectability. But at the end of the day, how much power can he really have if, you know, the overall census is, you know, we want to keep doing what we're doing and keep going further if we have to.
Do you think that's the census?
I don't think so, honestly. I think if one thing we've learned from the 2022 midterms is I think that Republicans, and I'm not a Republican, and if there are any listening right now, please let us know. Because if you're listening to this show, I have to imagine that you, unless you're hate listening right now, but
that's not true. I sometimes get comments. I actually got a Merry Christmas from someone on as a DM on Instagram. I can't think of his name right now. That he says, "You're my favorite liberal."
Oh, that's great.
Account to follow.
Well, that's nice. Yeah,
he's like, "I'm more conservative, but I appreciate your." So we have some conservative listeners.
I think after the 2022 election, the midterms, I think one thing we've really learned here is that there is some burnout. That there is, I mean, you can only fly that flag for so long where you're getting burnt out yourself. You only have so much time in the day. And at one point you got to come back to the base ideas, not just the base itself, but the base ideas. Like, what are we for? We're for smaller government, limited taxes, more freedom. And I'm not saying that as a joke either. Like these are the things that, you know, mostly like I am pro-life, but I'm also not a monster. Can we get back to that? Can we get back to talking? Can we get back to compromise? Is there a chance? If that's what you want, that sounds great. And if that's what Brian can bring to that party, I think that's going to be helpful for this state.
I agree.
Especially in terms of things like education. When you got Governor Evers wanting to propose a $2 billion education plan in the new year, can he get on board and say, hey, there are good points to this package, instead of having people saying, nope, sorry, nope, we're not going to do it because it's a liberal spending thing. It's like, no, there's some good things in there. Okay, let's try to make it work.
Because I also feel like maybe I'm making this up, but I think I saw it on WisPolitics yesterday that even Robin Voss is kind of, it was an interview that he like what hill he's going to die on for certain stuff when it comes. I think, for the flat tax, because I feel like that's starting, and that would be a good person to get. We could get maybe someone from Wisconsin Policy Forum to explain the pros and cons of a flat tax, because as far as I understand, it is something that certainly really only benefits the wealthy.
Yeah.
And but it sounds like he doesn't think that there's going to be much action on an abortion bill before the spring election, but also that he's not going to die on the hill for a flat tax. And so I think it'll be interesting now that they have Evers for another 4 years. He also said, I think in the same interview, that it wouldn't really make much sense to reintroduce the bills that Evers vetoed last time. So potentially maybe we're moving into a world that's a little bit more compromising to actually get things moving forward and done, instead of just calculating in a way that doesn't give it either side. It's like no one can have a win. Yeah. So everybody loses.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope so. I really do. But I also do think that at the end of the day, you also need to elect good, good leaders into the offices. I have a lot of opinions on Robin Boss.
I know you do.
And
be nice.
I'm not going to be mean.
Story.
I'm not gonna be, but based on his previous time in office, I don't see that happening on his watch. Mm-hmm. Just because he is who he is. He's built this empire for himself. Fine. If you could get a more level-headed, more workable Republican in that district to run, which will never happen. He won this primary. He didn't win it by a lot, which says something. It says something a lot that he didn't win by a massive landslide in the primary. But if you can get someone who's going to come in and say, like, I want to work with the Democrats. I want to work with the governor. I want to make things happen. I'm not here to just say no. I'm not here to red stamp everything that comes across the way and gavel out special meetings in 12 seconds. That would make me happy. That would make me very excited. That's something that where it's like, oh, I wouldn't be upset for my family voting for this person. But we have who we have in medicine, so.
I do think, though, and Kristen and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, Greg.
I'm Greg.
I think Greg's coming up later. I think there must have been some amount of shaming and calling these people to actually get them to do anything. And I'm looking at the example of Fred Bad Cottage Cheese Prenn stepping down from the National DNR. You know, your expiration date is 2 years old. Get out of here.
And I feel like you just wanted to bring that topic up again.
It makes me happy. But I do think that they must have heard from enough constituents. It's like, enough is enough. You guys haven't done anything.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things, you know, I'm going back to Robin Voss and actually I'm not going to praise him, but this whole thing with the investigation into January 6th, or I'm not January 6th, the election.
The election, the Gableman.
The fact that he kind of just said, like, I'm washing my hands of this, we're done. Like, he's not, I think that says a lot, that he might not be like, hey, I want to work with liberals, but he's like, hey, we need to move forward.
Like, this isn't getting us anywhere.
This is nothing. We spent so much money on this and it's gotten us nothing. It is nothing.
Well, and to go back to what you said, Jane, tomorrow, Susan Yackey from the La Follette School of Public Affairs, I always forget if it's public affairs or public administration, at UW, is going to be on, because she was part of the Main Street Agenda project, which it was WPR, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and La Follette School. And they had a survey that I think like a couple thousand people in Wisconsin took, but then they also had in-person town halls. And one of the big takeaways from that, there's a lot of different takeaways, but one of the big takeaways was, especially when you get in person, people would sit on stage and they'd have very different opinions, because this is Wisconsin and it is a 50-50 state. Mm-hmm. And not only could they sit on stage and disagree, but they actually enjoyed having the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, and one of the big takeaways is people are sick of the fighting. They're sick of things not getting done. They're sick of, in the election cycles, this isn't just Wisconsin, this is what they found, that in the election cycles, they were talking about issues that don't really matter, because they're, you know, they like stuff that riles people up, but it actually isn't what's affecting their lives. And so I think that is true. But again, it goes back to the common theme of, if you only have two choices and they only have to make the other guys look so much worse than you, that's the system that we live in. And so we all want it to be a little bit more compromising and productive while still advocating for the policy that you think is best or prioritizing the things that you think are the biggest problems to be solved. But sheesh, yeah, this like divide and conquer. And as long as we get one more vote than you, we're just going to ram in our agenda. It just doesn't feel like it's representative for a state that like ultimately like you got to try to serve everyone. And also, ideally.
And at the end of the day, it's a plan that's not working. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. It doesn't do anything. I think one of the things in the because I've seen this in other, I've seen Republican operatives being interviewed on other shows, and they mentioned this in the article too, is one of the things that Republicans really need to do is embrace the early voting.
Mm-hmm.
They spend so much time and money demonizing it, making it seem like it is the greatest national threat around, when in fact it wasn't, and people voted and in mass numbers early. And that's something that there's no reason why they can't embrace. There's nothing wrong with it. And I'm wondering if that message starts to make its way between now and the presidential in 2024, will you see the bags coming up off of those ballot boxes? Will you see a little more engagement from people and just saying like, oh, it's early voting. I'm going to mail in my ballot, or maybe we can even pass a law that says, hey, when you're 18, you're automatically registered to vote and everybody gets a ballot. It's not a threat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a threat unless you think, oh, people who do that are just liberals. That's wrong.
Yeah.
If you're given the opportunity to be easy and to be fast, people are going to take those and they're going to vote for whomever. So, yeah, I'm hoping that maybe this will be a move towards leaning back and loosening some of those restrictive voting laws we saw happening all over the country in lieu of 2020, which was just, I mean, insulting as an American citizen to see happen.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I think like as I'm trying to do a roundup for tomorrow, because it feels at an opportune time since we will not have a rerun on Friday, but trying to do different 22 roundup, both national stories and also Wisconsin stories. I mean, certainly, I think there's an argument to me that one of the main Wisconsin stories was all of this election stuff 2 years later. And so we will see what that happens. Well, that took. I mean, that's the only headline we even got to.
That was the only thing that happened.
That's the only thing that happened in this country.
Joe Biden took a week off. He's sleeping right now. That wasn't a sleepy Joe joke. That was just, he's taking a rest. He's president. You got to rest up.
All right. Well, when we come back, a different kind of chess update.
Oh, no.
It's not what you think it is.
Oh, God.
It's actually a happy one. Oh, and it has nothing to do with sex toys.
Oh, well, bummer.
How's that for a tease? All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us. Look very carefully, it may be you.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Daytime highs approaching 41. This afternoon, under mainly cloudy skies, winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, lows level off around 29. Cloudy tomorrow, high of 39. Mid-50s Tuesday, with a chance for scattered rain showers. Turning much cooler Wednesday, with highs in the mid-30s and mixed precipitation possible. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a text. Give us a call. Do we have a text?
We do have a text. We were talking a little bit last couple minutes about Robin Voss and the Republican legislature and whether or not they're actually going to get anything done this year. Texter from the 608 checking in. I'm not sure I'd give Robin Voss much credit for acting reasonable. I just think he knows election denial and game playing is a loser with a lot of voters, especially as we look ahead to the Supreme Court election.
But honestly, that's a win's a win. Right. If it's proven, if that's what forces him to be more reasonable or come to the table and compromise and negotiate, because like just putting your foot down and refusing to even, and I understand that it potentially goes both ways. When that came out earlier this year that they hadn't talked, Evers office and LeMahieu and Voss hadn't talked in months, maybe even over a year. And I don't know who's, I'm sure there's a little bit on both sides is stubbornness and stuff like that. But that's unacceptable to not do the leaders of one party and the leaders of the legislature to just not talk to the governor because they can't or they just like refuse to.
You
like
hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Comes back as like it can be seen as a point of weakness. I met with a friend a long time ago and he said, this is back in DC. They said, the congressmen don't talk to each other. The only people who talk to each other are the people behind the scenes because they can, because they won't get judged for doing it because it comes out, oh, so-and-so talked to so-and-so. Why are they doing that? They shouldn't have to talk to screw them. It's just seen as a path of weakness. And I mean, give credit to Robin Voss. Don't give credit to Robin Voss. He crunched the numbers and he did what was in his best interest. And it just so happens to be something that can work for everyone else. So I will give him half credit.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a more fun headline. So if you've been listening to this program, when did you start? I feel like this dates
December 12th, 1977.
Yes, there you go.
This goes back a ways.
This goes back a ways. Was this maybe even August? Was this before my wedding?
I think it was in the...
Definitely before your wedding.
So the chess scandal that rocked the chess world, we were keeping close tabs on that throughout...
For like 4 weeks.
Longer than that, I think. There was just constant updates. But this is another chess update that has nothing to do with that scandal, but is just a feel-good story that I wanted to highlight for no other reason, just because we talk about chess in the show and because I think it's a really good story. But there is his name's Tani Adewumi. Hopefully I said that right. He's Nigerian. But he rose to sudden stardom at the age of 8 for his striking chess skills. He beat 73 opponents and clinched the New York State Chess Championship for his division. At the time, in 2019, he was living with his family in a homeless shelter while he was winning all of these contests. Jeez. As an 8-year-old, because his family had moved to New York from Nigeria in 2017 seeking religious asylum after his family, who is devoutly Christian, was threatened by the terrorist group Boko Haram and forced to flee the country. So at 10, he was named National Master, and his current title is it FIDE? FIDE Master, a prestigious designation awarded by the International Chess Governing Body. And now at 12, Tani and his family were just officially granted asylum in the United States.
I will watch this movie when it's made.
I know, right? There's some books already. Yeah, like when you Google his name, there's some. I mean, he's gotten a lot of press over time, but it's such a good story. Yeah. Congratulations to him and his family for finally getting asylum. I mean, that's such a long, right? This is I mean, this is not even touching on the Title 42 things that are going on in the Supreme Court and how that's been extended and how many people are, you know, at the border and the mess that that all is. But think about that. His family's been here since 2017 and has taken, despite his success and his kind of media darling of this prodigy, 5 years in this like limbo status of they're not citizens. They haven't been granted asylum. Like that's how long it takes to try to go through this process.
Yeah.
And so on one hand, congratulations to them. That's such a great story. It's shocking. To, like, it blows my mind to think about a 10 or 12-year-old being that smart. But also just a reminder of how long and painstakingly slow our immigration and asylum-seeking processes are.
And that's, you know, when I think about that process, which I know very little about, I will totally admit, but I just know it's long. It's heartbreakingly long. When people sit there and say things like, well, if these people just want to come into our country, do it. Why don't they just do it the right way? It's like, do you know how long the right way
takes?
And
how expensive.
How expensive and how easy. It's like they can do everything correct. They can fill out all the right paperwork, go to all the right locations, talk to all the right people. And then they can just at one point be like, nope, you're done. And you got to go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to get into the discussion of the process of people coming here in non-law abiding ways, but I understand it. They want to get away from terrible places and they want to come here because they feel like it's a better place. And that's great. Is there anything we can do to make it just a skosh easier, just a little bit easier for people? Or is it, is the process supposed to be hard and long because people are like, well,
it's supposed to be a deterrent.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, it also just feels like,
I don't mean to make this topic depressing.
This was supposed to be a fun topic. but I do think that there's something we said as far as both sides, both Democrats and Republicans constantly running on fixing immigration, fixing immigration. There's constantly talks about how immigration can solve some of our declining population problems and our workforce problems. And that there is people, like you said, who want, like, why can't they just come legally? Well, the actual process of doing that legally, there's very few avenues that even allow you to do that. You basically have to seek asylum, have a family member sponsor you, get married, although that might be considered the same bucket, have your work sponsor you or in school. And I think that's it.
And I think,
so you can't just come here.
And I'm wondering if giving, I mean, I'm not saying the kid didn't earn these titles. I'm never saying that. The kid is 50 miles smarter than I am, but I'm wondering if the chess community came together and said, we need to do everything we can for him to put in the paperwork. He is a viable citizen. He's a viable person to allow to stay in your country because of these things. It's, he can do great things. He's inspired. I don't know.
Like maybe they helped them navigate the system.
Yeah, exactly. And if they did, awesome. And that's where we can say, like, that's the happiness of it. I feel like when a story has Boko Haram in it, it's not always so happy. So no.
Well, and if you're looking for some inspiration, just go on Google or YouTube and Google Chess Kids. There are videos from some of these chess tournaments where they're playing multiple people at the same. It's remarkable. It's honestly, it's remarkable. You will be so impressed and so excited for these kids.
Do you think you're just born that way?
Yes. I think your brain's wired that way.
Yes.
Because I think your brain is wired not so much to be like, you will be great at chess. I think your brain is wired in a way that you have, because you can be good at chess, but in, it's like any other, it's, I mean, we were talking about before, sport versus, you know, competition, that kind of thing. It's like any other sport, if you will, where you have to learn and study and get into it and like read all the old matches. You can't just, you're not just good one day.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, Brett Poliquin, Director of Development and Marketing of Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha County, is going to be here. Stay around.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marquesan and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Markazan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.